Once again, for the Word of God, and Lord, what a difference it makes in our lives, Lord, and I pray to make the difference in these young people's lives today. Lord, we don't know where each one is at spiritually with you, but we know that the Bible is clear, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I pray that the truth of the gospel may go out to these young people, and Lord, you may save one or more of them today. Thank you for loving us, blessing our adult hour here, Lord, as we look at the final steps in this transformation process, that you would guide us, direct us, lead us, heavy hands upon those who are on their way. And may you get all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right. Well, you had several weeks to work on Psalm 27, and we're still talking about the process of transformation. And so we're going to finish this up today by God's grace, and then get you ready for the next chapter. By the way, let's talk about this just for a moment. Transformation, hard or easy? Hard. What makes transformation hard? People of the world, okay? What else makes transformation hard?
Have to yield yourself to God.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. We're stubborn. We don't want to do that. Amen. What else makes transformation hard? John?
Human nature.
Amen. What does human nature want to do? Take the easy way and do what it wants to do. Amen. There's something unique about man. If you know this, you know it's true. Man hates to be told what to do.
Yes, so badly they do.
Why? I've got my own mind. I want to do what I want to do. Man hates to be under authority. Man hates to be submissive to the authority of God. Man only wants to be submissive to the people or the things they want to be submissive to. Amen. But any type of authority that is going to take them in the right direction, man normally doesn't like that oftentimes. Amen. And so it makes this process hard. You've got your books there. Let's go ahead and recap where we've come from. And then we're going to start on number three. So in your books there, we found the process of transformation. Roman number one, transformation is a process, And what happens with that? A, we should never quit. Don't ever quit. Then we found B, don't ever be satisfied.
Right.
And then C, don't ever be overwhelmed if possible. Roman numeral two, transformation is personal. It's personal. Why is that? A, it's your decision. Nobody can force you to do it. Now, can God make it where you have no choice but to do it? Yes, he can. Amen. And B, it should not waver with circumstances. So when the going gets tough, the tough should still keep going. Amen. It should not waver with circumstances. By the way, God is wanting to transform us, and it will happen until the very day that Jesus Christ comes to get us, according to Romans chapter number 8, verses 28 and 29. Now, Roman number 3, transformation is practical. It's practical. What does that mean? It makes sense. It's not only personal, but it's practical. Personal means we got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Practical means there are specific steps that God wants us to take to get there. If I told you to go outside to your car, you would practice certain steps to get to your car. It's practical. You're not just going to levitate and float, and or you're not going to just disappear from here and reappear outside. There are some practical steps to getting to your car outside. And so it is with this process of transformation. It is practical. By the way, the primary practical step is to be renewed where? In the spirit of our minds. What do we talk about on Wednesday? What is the number one cause for conflict with God? Our mind, our thinking. Our mind goes contrary to the thoughts and the will and the way of God. And so the primary practical step is going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and our minds. This should happen on a daily and a regular basis, where we're in the Word of God all the time, trying to gather and grab the mind of God and make the mind of God our mind. By the way, the more of the mind of God that you know, the more of the will of God you can do.
That's right,
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you don't know the mind of God, you can't do the will of God. It's much like a child. Can a child do your will if they don't know what your will is?
Nope.
No.
Pastor.
They're shooting in the dark. They're guessing as best they can. But if you share your mind and say, Johnny, I want you to go down and pick up the trash off the floor. What does Johnny know he's supposed to do?
Pick up the trash. The
he knows the will of his parent. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so it is with God. The more you and I get our minds renewed, the more of the will of God we can do. So how are we going to do this? Well, much like you would with anything else, if the parent is going to give the child some of their will, then what happens to the will of the child? If the parent shares their will with the child, what happens to the child's will? Will eventually do the will of the parent because I'm sharing my will with the child. So now the child knows more of the will of the parent. And so the child knows less of their will that they're going to do. Diana? And that's true. So if I've got my parents' will, then I'm going to do more of their will. That's my choice. That's the personal part. It's my decision. But then there's going to be this, okay, if I do more of my parents' will, by proxy, I'm going to do less of my will. Does that make sense? So the more of God's will I do, the less of my will I'm going to do. And the more of God's will that I know to do, the less of my will I will do. And God's will then becomes whose will? My will. God's will then becomes my will. Amen. So when you look at this process of transformation, A is this, get the old out. Get the old out. After winter, we do what's called spring cleaning. How many of y'all do spring cleaning? Amen. Now, there's several ways you can do spring cleaning. How many go after the dust that's around you? You start dusting everything. Okay, you got one. How many go after the dirt and the grime of stuff that hasn't been cleaned? Okay. How many go after the things that are unorganized? You go to organize it. Amen. How many go and get the things that you have not worn and put them away? Amen. How many go and get the things that you haven't worn and throw them away? Yeah. Amen. Only one hand went up. People don't want to get rid of stuff. Amen. And so spring cleaning comes in different ways. You know, for me, for you, it may be different. My wife, she does not like dust. And so she's going to dust everything and pick stuff up. My process is this. If it is in place, leave it there. If it's organized, leave it organized. Because if you lift it up, you're going to see how dirty everything else is. Amen. And so I'm not bothered by the dust. My wife is, she's thoroughly bothered by the dust. My thing is, hey, look, if it looks organized, don't mess with it. Now, if it looks unorganized, I've got to go and organize it. I've got to go through there. If it looks like clutter, I've got to go through there and say, okay, let's straighten this out. Let's straighten this out. Let's put this here. Let's put that there. And I've got to organize. And so when it comes to spring cleaning, that's basically the thought here. Get the old out. We've got to get our old minds renewed. We got to get the old thoughts out. Now, what needs to come out? Old sinful habits, old destructive relationships, old thought patterns, old offenses, anything that's contrary to God is old. We got to get it out. And what should we do with it? Should we put it in reserve? Throw it away. Amen.
Throw it out.
Would you keep something that's hazardous to your health?
No.
No. And so A is get the old out. If I'm going to go through this process of transformation, I've got to get the old out. It's practical. And just like spring cleaning, I've got to get it out. When old things don't work, we either replace them or repair them. Amen. How many of y'all keep old things that don't work?
I don't.
What do? You normally get rid of it. You give it to someone that can fix it.
That's right, Pastor.
Now, you may hold on to it with the intention on fixing it. But oftentimes, if it's broke, you get rid of it. How many keep your old shoes that have holes in them and they stink? You've worn them for ages. And you say, man, I got to keep these shoes. No, when they get old, what do? You chuck them. You get rid of them. Amen. And what about when you crack the eggs? You keep the eggshells?
Nope.
You keep the old carton that the meat comes out of? No, if you do, it'll start stinking.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you ever have done that? You've thrown something in the garbage on Monday, and by Wednesday it's stinking. And what do you say? Man, where's that smell coming from? And what do you got? You got to take that out. Amen. Why? It's stinking. So when we have the old things in our mind and our hearts that aren't fragrant to God, guess what? They stink. And we've got to get rid of them, amen? And so A down there is the first process in this practicality is getting the old out. Now, I've got this. I'm going to read this. Sometimes people try to transform their lives without getting rid of their old sin. What does that often do? If I'm trying to transform my life, but I don't want to get rid of my old sin, what does that do? What's that? Hold you back? Okay. What else would it do? Cause a conflict between me and God? Amen. Diana? Keeps the transformation from happening. Now, let's just pretend this is our life here. Okay. And it's cluttered. It's got this here. It's got this here. These are our old sinful things here. This is our life. And so I'm going to transform my life. I'm going to get rid of the old so that I can put the new in. And I go over and do this. Does that make it look any better? Oh, I got to scoot this back. Does that make it look any better? Oh. Does that make it look any better? Oh, I know what I've got to do. I forgot. I've got to put some new stuff in there. Surely that makes it look better, right? Well, what's the problem? I still got the old stuff. So as I look at this, I see this new up there, but guess what else I see? The old. And guess which one I'm more familiar with? The old. So guess which one's going to get the most attention? Even if the new is up front. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to look over the new because I don't know how to use the new. But I know how to use this. Boy, how to watch TV and watch things that I like. I know how to do that. Oh, boy, how to tell somebody off. Hey, I know how to do that. Ooh, how to give somebody a piece of my mind. Ooh, I know how to do that. Ooh, how to lie to people and make it seem like it's the truth. Oh, I know how to do that. Oh, yeah, this one. Oh, how to shirk my responsibilities and put it off on somebody else. I know how to do that. But how to surrender to the Lord? I don't really know how to do that. And so if I try to transform my life without getting the old out, I'm always going to revert to the old because that's what I know. You put something in front of your children that they like and put something in front of them that they have never tasted before, what are they going to go to first? What they like. You put something there they have never tasted or never seen, they're going to look at that and they're going to think, how does it taste? Is it good? My wife, she got our children the other day. She made some bread, and it was a cinnamon type of a bread. But there was no sugar on it. But it smelled sweet. Cinnamon. And so they took a bite and my wife watched their reaction. And the reaction was, it's not sweet. So guess what it was not? It's not my favorite. Why? It smelled sweet, but it wasn't sweet. And then she put some sugar on it the next day. And guess what it was then? Oh, that's my favorite. Yeah, I like that. I like that. What am I saying? Oftentimes, we're not going to go for that which we are unfamiliar with. And so we've got to get the old out. By the way, is the old helping our new life? No.
No, it's not.
So if the old is not helping our new life, should we keep it in our new life?
No.
So the practical process here is to, if we're going to go forward, we have got to get the old out. If not, it will clutter our new life up and it will confuse us and we will focus more on the old than we will the new. So I've got to get the old out before I can do anything else at all. And by the way, when you look at this, this cloudy mind is going to come in two different ways. One is going to be outward things that I do. The other is going to be inward things that I think. Okay? And by the way, the inward things that I think controls the outward things that I do. Amen? Y'all agree with that?
I agree.
And by the way, the inward thoughts that you have, listen to me now, the inward thoughts that you have fuel your outward actions. Say it again. Your inward thoughts that you have fuel your outward reactions. In other words, if I've got bitterness in my heart, what am I going to be towards people oftentimes?
Bitter.
If I've got anger in my heart, what am I going to be outwardly? People are going to see that. If I've got covetousness in my heart, what's going to come out? I'm going to covet. If I've got any of the inward things in, if I've got lust in my heart, what's going to come out? So my inward thoughts then are going to control my outward reactions. Why does a person steal? Knowing that the Bible says thou shalt not steal, man. They spend time thinking about it. I want whatever. And then guess what I do? I take whatever. And so I've got to make sure that my mind is in a condition practically first where it's receiving the good, but I've got to be able to put the old out first and foremost. I've got to put that old thoughts out. Amen. By the way, and you've heard me say this before, things like music, movies, and magazines, and the media that we see all comes in and it begins to work on our minds. And guess what we then do? We do that which we see. Many housewives back in the days were known for watching soap operas.
Yeah.
And some house husbands too. Amen. And if I'm watching soap operas, mm-hmm. what's coming into my mind?
Soap opera.
Hmm? Filth? Soap? Yeah, soap. Baby. Dirty soap. Amen.
Dirty soap. Yes, sir.
And what is the mindset of most soap operas? It's drama, but what type of drama? Ungodly, do whatever you want to do. Amen. When I was in college, everybody in my dorm, we watched The Young and the Restless. Now, I wasn't saved. Put that caveat there. I wasn't saved. But we watched The Young and the Restless. And what happens? That mindset comes into your mind. I remember my grandmother watching Days of Our Lives and As the World Turns. I remember seeing that in black and white, the picture of the earth spinning around as the world turns. And we sit down and watch that, kind of like, can we watch some cartoons, please?
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens? That mindset comes in. And the movies, the music, the magazines, the media that we allow to come in then begin to formulate how we act. Why? We take it in, and then it comes out in our actions. Amen? And so when you look at this, the inward thoughts that we do have are oftentimes coming from outward things that have come into our minds that we're thinking on. And by the way, the inward thoughts feed the outward sins. Amen. Which brings me to my next point here. Psalm 66, 18. Let's look at that verse there. Psalm 66, 18. And notice what the Bible says there in Psalm 66. In verse number 18. Says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, is there anything wrong with God's hearing? No. But it says, if I regard iniquity, what would be the definition of regard? If I regard iniquity in my heart. Consider it. Okay, what's another definition? If I regard iniquity in my heart. Keep it or hold on to it in your heart. Amen. It literally means to see. So if I see iniquity in my heart, if I regard, if I hold on to it, if I see it's there, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, what it's saying is not that the Lord can hear you. He's under no obligation to answer your request. There's nothing wrong with God's hearing. He can hear. You ever had a child that you told them to do something and they didn't do it? And then they come and ask you for something that they want and you hear them? But you don't hear them?
Yes, sir.
And you kind of give them that look like, you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Sorry, Pastor.
Mom, can I go outside? Did you clean your room?
Oh, boy.
No. See the back. They come back a few minutes later. Did you clean your room? No. Do you hear them? Yes, you hear. But you are under no obligation to grant their request. Mom, can I go outside? Can I go outside? Can I go outside? You clean your room? So in other words, what David is saying here, if I see that I've got sin in my heart or my life, the Lord is under no obligation to hear me, to answer me, and to give my request. Amen. So when you look at this, I've got to get rid of the old. God says, now, I want you to get rid of that old stuff so that you can do what I want you to do. Amen. Which leads us to B. B is then I've got to put the new in. If I get rid of the old, I've got to put the new in. So once you get rid of the old thoughts that are dishonoring to the Lord, then I've got to allow God to transform my mind by replacing those thoughts with new ones. I think Philippians 4:8 is in your book there, right? Let's go over to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. So transformation is practical. It is practical. I've got to get the old out, but I've got to put the new in. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in the morning service here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And notice how this verse reads. Because what Paul is going through here is letting them know that there are certain things that they can do to keep themselves right with God and to keep on the straight and narrow. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. If there's any truthfulness in it, whatsoever things are what? Honest. If it's something that's upright, whatsoever things are what? Just. If that's equitable, if it's right with God. Whatsoever things are what? Pure. It's not tainted with sin. Whatsoever things are what? Lovely. It's something that's beautiful. Whatsoever things are what? Good report. There's a good report to this, not a bad report. If there be any virtue, strength, power, vitality, there be any praise, if I can praise God for this, what does he say? Think on these things. What's he saying? He's saying you've got to get your old thoughts out. And you've got to put some new good thoughts in. Amen. By the way, keeping your old thoughts are destructive for you and destructive for others. Why is it destructive for you? Tamara? Some of those old thoughts are not godlike. Amen. By the way, some of those old thoughts will take you in the wrong direction.
Yes, they will,
Pastor. Amen. Hey, if I still had the same thought pattern that I had before I got saved, I'd be in trouble.
Yes, Pastor.
If you still had the same thought process, you'd be in trouble.
I would.
God has come in and graciously given us new thoughts. Amen. We put some new stuff in. But guess what? In transformation, there's more stuff that needs to go out and more good stuff needs to come in. We will never know all of the knowledge of God that we need to know. And it's a constant process. And so Philippians 4:8 gives us a new godly thought pattern. Amen. A change of thinking from the fleshly to the spirit. It's got to be something that's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. And by the way, Philippians 4:8 is excellent verse to memorize.
Yes, sure it is, Pastor.
Excellent.
Sure is.
By the way, when you look at this, this pattern that they want you to have in your life will help you to get the old out and to put the new in. What do you normally do with stuff that you don't use frequently in your house? Is it in the front of your mind or in the back of your mind? Back of your mind.
Back.
What's normally in the front of your mind? Things you use every day.
Yes,
we
sir.
All use our refrigerator every day.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Some of you probably know, like the back of your hand, what's in your refrigerator.
Yes, we do, Pastor. We do.
But how many know everything that's in your freezer?
Right.
Especially the stuff that's caked in the ice underneath.
Go.
I've got a few popsicles down the bottom of mine that I found that had fallen through the crack and kind of went down and kind of wiggled its way down. And one day the power went out.
Oh, no.
And when the power went out, it melted.
Yes.
And then when the power went back on, it refroze. And guess what was down in the ice? Colors of my popsicle.
Ah.
I said, I could have ate that. But I didn't even know it was down there. What happened? It was put out of my mind.
Yes, sir.
If I'd known it was there, I would have rescued it back when it first happened. So we are going to have old thoughts that are in the back of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if we put the new thoughts in the front of our mind,
yeah.
Guess what's going to take precedence? The new thoughts. Will we ever get rid of our old thoughts? No. Our mind is like a computer. It's there.
Yes, sir, it is.
Everything that has happened to you in your lifetime is stored in your memory bank. Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You just don't remember it. Why do you think people go to a hypnotist? What did you do on March 16th at 4 o'clock? I went downstairs and got a popsicle. You don't even know that it's there. They get those latent memories that are there. And some of these guys that don't know what happened to them in their childhood or whatever, they can hypnotize you and they can get that information back. Why? It's there. It's there. The good's there. The bad's there. And the ugly's there. There's some stuff that I don't even want to think about that I have to, on purpose, repress, put it down there and stomp on it and say, don't you ever come back to me again. And given the right circumstance, you know what the devil does? And guess what happens? I think about it. You know what I got to do again? Now I got to think on what is true, what's honest, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely. Oh, and I got to bring that back to my memory. Then the devil will catch me at a weak time again.
Yeah.
Remember that time when the children left your popsicles in the car and they all melted?
Oh, boy.
And I put that down.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
Some of y'all know I like popsicles. Tasha knows I like popsicles.
Hey, amen. Who doesn't? I love them.
I'll take popsicles over ice cream. Amen. Amen. And so when you look at this, he says, I've got to get the old out. I've got to put the new in. By the way, they give you some suggestions to start putting the new in. Number one, you can ask the Lord for his help. Ask the Lord for his help. Number two, you can read your Bible. Read your Bible. That'll put new thoughts in there. It'll give you more questions too. Number three, you can memorize passages of scripture. That's why we give you passages in summer school. Summer school. Sunday school. Number four, you can listen to godly music. Listen to godly music. By the way, not all music is godly music. Some music out there is rock and roll in disguise of gospel music. Some music is rap music disguised as gospel music. Some music is this and that and the other disguised as gospel music. You say, preacher, what's the determining factor oftentimes? Oftentimes it's the rhythm. You know, I can take a beat from the nightclub and put a godly twist on it, and guess what? It'll seem like I'm at the nightclub. I'll take the same music that was in the nightclub and bring it over here and bring it in the church and just change the lyrics to Jesus loves me, and guess what? It's the same beat. Is there any difference? No, the music has got me going, and I really have no clue of the words because the music is driving me, so you got to be even careful on your selection of music. It'll get you. Amen. By the way, does the devil know what type of music you like?
Oh, yes. He sure does.
Some of the biggest churches are filled with people that come for the music only. And you let the preaching word of God come up there. What time is it? Well, boy, they'll play music for an hour and a half. As soon as the preacher comes up there with the Bible, well, it's time to go home now. I don't want to hear none of that getting right with God stuff. What am I saying? They come because the music draws your flesh. So you got to be careful with the music. And so asking God to help, reading the Bible, memorizing scripture, there's godly music, there's godly books you can read, there's biographies that you can read. And then lastly, they say you can listen to some godly preaching. Amen. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to Sunday school. That's why we come Sunday night. That's why we come Wednesday. Preaching. By the way, some of the best thoughts that I have are from preaching.
Yes, sir.
Where God spoke to my heart explicitly by preaching.
Same here.
Some of the times when I drop some of the most horrendous sins is from listening to preaching.
Yes.
Preacher's up there and he's hitting it, and nobody in the church knows my sin but God.
That's right.
And the preacher hits it, pow, that's God. I got to let that sin go.
Yes, sir.
I got to let that go because nobody knows that but God. And so listening to preaching is another way that you can really put the new in. So asking God to help you, reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, listening to godly music, listening to or reading godly books. I know people don't read books. It's all iBook or, no, what's that called? E-book? Audio books. What's the other kind of Kindle books? E-books, that's what I was looking for, e-books. So very rarely do we pick up a hard book nowadays. It's all e-books, amen. Whatever kind of book it is, make sure it's a godly book. I don't care if it's an e-book or an A-book or a B-book, amen. Make sure it's a godly book, no matter what kind it is. Amen. And then, of course, the preaching there. So you should really make your actions. And listen to this list again. Ask God to help you. Read the Word of God. Memorize some scripture. Listen to godly music. Read some godly books. Listen to more preaching. You should make your list and say, okay, God, I've got to do this to help me. I need maybe to ask you to help me better, to get the old out. I don't want to think on it. I don't need to think on it. And I need to put the new in by memorizing. I need to put the new in by reading my Bible more. I need to put the new in by listening to godly music. I need to put the new in by reading godly books. I need to put the new in by listening more preaching. And by the way, you can't listen to just any old preacher on TV.
That's right.
Prosperity gospel and the rest of that stuff.
Oh, boy.
Uh-uh. You got to listen to some good music. So asking God to help you to make your list, amen. And then number C, we've got A, get the old out. B, put the new in.
Yeah.
And then C, guard what goes in. Notice the scriptures, Proverbs 4:23. Let's go over there real quick. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. And who's there? Can read that for me till I get there? Who's got that? Proverbs 4:23. Who's there? Andrew, you there? Can you read that for me? Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. By the way, when you look at verse 4 or verse 23, the word keep there, what does that mean? If you're going to keep something, what does that mean? Keep it. Possess it, Beth? Protect it, amen. Keep. Hold on to it. How many of y'all keep your houses? You're going to protect it. You keep your car. You're going to guard it. How many want to keep your children safe? You got to protect them.
Yes, sir.
The word there has the idea of to guard or to protect or to keep a sentry. In other words, if this is my house, I want to protect my house. And if I've got windows here and doors here and windows here and doors here, windows here and doors here, windows here and doors here, how should I protect my house? Get a dog. Smith and Wesson, amen. How am I going to protect my house? House. House. How am I going to protect it? Locks. Do I just put locks right here? Protect this part? Where the doors are, so I need to protect it over here. I need to protect. By the way, do you know that burglars are smart? Most of them. Not all of them. If you protect this door, where's the burglar going to go? If you protect just the back door, where's the burglar going to go? Window over on this side, maybe you protect that, where's he going to go? Front. Hey, if you protect all that, where can he go? He can get a ladder and go up through the window upstairs. If you got an upstairs.
Here you go.
Burglars, they want to steal. And they want to get what they want to get. And they don't want to get caught. And so I don't want to go in a place that is protected. So the Bible says that I need to keep guard or protect my heart with all diligence. I've got to make sure that every door to my heart is entry free. I can't let anybody come in there, because it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if I'm going to get the old out and put the new in, I've got to protect what's getting in.
Yep.
I got to make sure that I protect what's getting in. If it's not good, it doesn't need to get in. If it's good, I let it in. And if I let it in, what do I want to do? I want to keep it in.
Yes, sir.
I had the most bizarre thing happen to me just on Tuesday, outdoor knocking. I knocked on the door and I heard the latch fiddling. And so I figured it's somebody that's a senior that's maybe handicapped. They can't get to the door good. And the door opens up and a little toddler in diapers comes out.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, I could have been a predator. I could have been a stranger. I said, here, honey, I said, go give this to your mommy. Go back in the house. She said, babysitter. Babysitter sleeps. I'm thinking. I said, you go back inside and close your door. And I watched her go back inside. I'm thinking, she is not protected. I could have been a predator. Here I'm knocking at the door. She unlocks the door. And it was one of those doors where you can't see. And so I started talking up here. Hey, I'm from Shining Light Baptist Church. Come to invite you out. And I hear the latch fiddling. So I stopped talking. Then out comes this little kid. And I'm thinking, I'm talking up here and right here. And I'm thinking, oh. And my heart bled. I'm thinking, you are not protected. Hey, but wait a minute. Our hearts can be that way too. We can be vulnerable to attacks if we're not careful. If we don't have every avenue protected, how do we receive information? How do we receive information that gets to our mind? How do we receive it? Eyes, ears, how else? Senses. And what are some of the senses we have? Eyes, ears, what else? Smell, taste, what else? Touch. So that means my eyes need to be protected. My ears need to be protected for what I hear. My eyes, what I see. I don't need those soap operas that we talked about. My ears, I don't need to hear those things that are not honest, that are not true, that are not just. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to touch that which is not pleasing to God. I don't need to let my feet take me to where I shouldn't go. I shouldn't let my hands touch that which is not pleasing to God. I shouldn't do those things. Why? Then I'm not protected. And if I let that come into my house, I'm not keeping my heart with all diligence. Because my house has got to be guarded. And, you know, my heart bled for that young girl. And I felt sorry for the person that was keeping her as a babysitter. I don't know who it was. But to knock on a door and to have the lock unlocked from the inside. By the way, if I'm a burglar, I understand that you're going to have some locks that can only be unlocked from the inside. But it's worse when the person from the inside unlocks the door and lets the predator in. It's no different than you and I unlocking the door of our heart and letting sin in. It's no different. It's no different. We have to physically unlock the door and let the sin in. And that's why the Bible says, hey, whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, let that in. But the other things, you lock that door, you bolt the windows, you put the electrical fence up, and every other kind of warning and sensor is going to go off. What am I talking about here? We've got to guard our heart, guard what goes in. Once we've gotten rid of our sin in our minds, we've got to make sure that the clean, organized heart that God has, we don't dirty it up or disorganize it again. How many of you have cleaned up your children's closets or their drawers only to find that they disorganized them again? You go in there, all the clothes are folded up, they're put down there nice, and you say, okay, now when you go in, little Sally, make sure you put the things in there nicely and neatly. You go back in there, it's a mess.
Yes, sir.
It's the same way. Yeah. God is wanting to organize our minds and our hearts, and he wants to help us to progress. By the way, who wants to hinder our progress? The devil.
The devil himself.
And if the devil knows that you have your heart guarded and protected, and you're only letting in good stuff, what does he have to do to get in? What does he have to do? And by the way, he can't be guilty of breaking and entering. Because greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. So we know he can't be guilty of breaking and entering. How can he access my heart? I have to let him in. The same way that girl had to open up the door. I've got to let the predator in. And so if we don't guard our hearts, Satan will come in. And he will oftentimes woo you with things that he knows you like or you want. That's why I've got to get the old out. Get the old wants out. Get the old desires out. Get the old passions out. Because if I don't get the old passions and desires out, and I call myself bolting the door, Satan's just going to come along and say, you want this, don't you? You got to open up to get it.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Pastor. Yes, sir.
Click, click, click. And just like that little girl, you come out and you're not protected. And so he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. If this transformation is going to work, I've got to realize that Satan's greatest battle is in my mind. And he struggles against our godly thoughts. And he wants to put in the old thoughts that you had. He wants to bring those old thoughts back up so that you can do what you used to do. And he does not want you to be content with what God has given you. And mostly, we will have to unlock the door to let the devil in. And that's why the Bible is clear. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. By the way, the devil does not fight fair. Never has. Never will. He will always get you and I on that which we desire most. If we desire the will of God, will he have access? No. If we desire the will of man or the will of the devil, will he have access? Because we have to unlock the door to our heart. We have to let him in. I'll leave you with this this thought here. The word conform, the idea of it is basically in two spots here. One in Romans 8:29, which Brother Neil preached on, and then the other is Philippians 3:10. Both times it deals with us being conformed to the image of Christ. But the word actually means I can be conformed bad or I can be formed good. Mm-hmm. It's a neutral word. I can go either way. My question is, which way will I go? Which way will I go? Let me give you some help. You can go Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, think on these things. Leave you with a devotion that I read here a couple of weeks ago. Dealing with our victory going one step at a time. It says, when God led his people into the promised land, he did so step by step. He allowed them to annihilate their enemies at once. The land would have been too difficult to manage. So he allowed some of the enemies to remain for a time in order to maintain the land and suppress the wildlife. Do not become impatient while God is producing Christ-likeness in you. Do not seek more responsibilities than those he has given you. Obey all that you know he has asked you to do, and he will lead you at a pace that fits your present character and his purposes for you. What is that saying? Say, don't be concerned about how somebody else is growing. Look at how God wants you to grow, and grow at your pace, and grow at your rate, and let God get you to where he wants you to be. It's easy to look at someone else and say, well, I want to be like that. God may not have you stepping that way. God may not have you stepping at that rate. So, preacher, what do? Get the old out. Letter A. Put the new in, B, and then C, protect or guard what goes in. I've got to protect the house of my heart. I cannot allow the thoughts of the devil to come back in. And how can I do that? By Philippians 4:8. That's going to be our memory verse as well, Philippians 4:8. Think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, good report, and praiseworthy. We're going to think on those things. It's going to be our memory verse. And then we'll get into chapter number 3, the power to succeed. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So let's leave here today, make our list, saying, Lord, what can I do to improve? Maybe I need to read the Bible more. Maybe I need to make sure that I ask you to lead me. Maybe I need to memorize some scripture, get some godly music or some godly books or listen to some preaching. But make sure your thoughts then are guarded and protected. Get the old out, put the new in, and then protect what comes in and make sure nothing gets out that's of God. I've got to keep that in and meditate on it. And so Philippians 4.